Good morning. Please stand for the reading of God's word. It is Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am so happy to be here. So happy to be here, back home. Would you believe, since 1997, we're at Grace Fellowship Church to today, and next year it will be 30 years being together, half of my life. Incredible. All I can say, God is good. May I take this opportunity to thank you. You know, the leadership of the church, you as, you know, church members, for all you have done for us. We can't believe, but we can only say God is at work. He has been and he continues to be at work. And all we did was to join him at work in Zambia. So we thank you for your prayers, your unwavering support, encouragement. Your dedication has been truly a blessing to Doreen and I. You know, when we think back, you know, as we are going back to Zambia, I remember the last day, and, you know, you are praying for us here. And a young girl, you know, came to me. At one time, I taught Sunday school. And in my class, here's a secret. Before I started teaching the kids, I invited them to touch my hair. The reason was that if I didn't, everyone would be closer to me. They would be touching their hair. So I just invited them in the beginning. And the class ended that way. But, you know, young girl by the name of Charlotte, you know, came with a big, you know, some coins. You know, as we were coming out of here, she was there, and she gave it to me. It was so heavy. And says, you, I've been, you know, saving money for you so that when you go to Africa, you don't get hungry. And I will tell my parents to pray for you. If you are out of money, I will tell them to give you. So Charlotte, tell your parents to give me. So we are so grateful. We feel at home here. The only place I can drive from Los Angeles Airport to here without using Google Maps. Update. North Rise University continues to thrive with over 1,000 students being transformed to the glory of God. We train one student at a time and we have seen many lives change. In Zambia, we say if you graduate one student, you at least one student will impact five people. You know, Doreen and I, we are impacting 10 people because that's our social security. We don't have the social security you have here. Today we have lawyers. It's lawyers for Jesus, not lawyers, liars, but lawyers for Jesus. Business owners, community school owners, IT specialists, pastors, nurses, project managers, and now we are training civil engineers. You know, in Zambia, when you are driving, we say, if you drive straight, you are drunk. The idea is if you drive zigzag, you're avoiding the potholes. So you need to drive that way. So we are training civil engineers to straighten up our roads. Next year, we plan to launch more programs in cybersecurity, data science, IT with education, business computing, mechanical engineering, and 3 graduate programs. And I have news for all of us. We have a new president for North Rise University. He would have been here with us, but there were visa issues. His name is Lamek Mwewa. He's an academician, an engineer, and I have been promoted to be the chancellor of North Rise. And a funny title, that means no day-to-day work. I continue to friend raise, alumni strengthening, and looking for internship for our students. I realize that when you start holding your hands on both sides of the sofa when getting up, it's time to be promoted. And for sure, I experience, you know, now I have to make sure that one hand, you know, has to hold on to something. But that's where we are, and this man is a good man, godly man, who loves students and he loves what he does. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We give you glory for who you are. We thank you for your many blessings you have poured upon our lives. We are grateful that you called us. We are grateful that you continue shining in our lives. As we encourage one another this morning, I pray that, Father, may your name be lifted up. May you increase. We thank you and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 announcements. As you came in, you received a flyer. We have an event in October, October 4th. So, sign up, be there, so that we can celebrate together. We have good people who will be there. You know, it will be a time of singing and praising God. And the second one, we have Impact in Dollar. Impact in Dollar is we invite our friends here, and then we have 120 students. You work hand in hand with our students in Zambia for 1 week. It's 5 days, very intensive. We have pastors' conference, we bring 300 pastors. We have women's conference, we bring 350 women. We have 3 schools where we do vacation Bible school, ministering to over 1,000 kids. We have dentists. That's the only time, you know, our people in the community, their teeth can be cleaned. So we have one dentist, you know, at Kindred Community Church who has said, yes, he does it, you know, for 4 or 5 days, more than 500 people's teeth are cleaned. You know, I never knew that I would clean my teeth until I came here. All my life, just use the, you know, if I don't have a toothbrush, this will do. But please sign up. It's next year, July 9th to July 18th. Imagine for a moment you are a diplomat, an ambassador of a country, living in a foreign capital halfway across the world. Day after day, you know, you walk on foreign soil, you use foreign currency to buy morning coffee, speak the local language, you drive on their roads and obey their traffic laws. To the casual observer on the street, he or she looks like any other resident of that city. But he or she is not like everyone else. The passport says the ambassador belongs to another nation. Their salary is paid by another government. The ultimate authority over his or her life isn't the mayor of the city they live in, it's the president who sent them. And inside the walls of their embassy, they step onto sovereign soil, a piece of home in the middle of a distant land. Now picture what happens if that ambassador gets amnesia. Imagine they wake up one morning, forget who sent them, forget their home country, and start pouring all their energy into trying to run for local office, owning local property, and adopting the foreign nation's loyalties as their supreme passion. You would question what they are doing because they have forgotten who they are. You might say to them, you don't belong to this political system. You represent a kingdom across the ocean. Church, that's exactly what Paul is addressing in Colossians 3. He says, as followers of Jesus, you and I live on earthly soil. We pay taxes, we go to work, we buy groceries, and we drive on earthly roads. But Paul is reminding us, your true citizenship, your ultimate allegiance, and your real life belong somewhere else entirely. The tragedy of modern Christianity isn't that we live in the world, it is that so many of us have spiritual amnesia and are living like this foreign city in the only home we have. So the Christians in Colossae were being taught by false teachers that Jesus wasn't enough. That is not new even today. They were being dragged back into earthly legalism, strict rules, and mystical performance to feel spiritual. Paul writes to remind them, you don't need to add earthly rituals to find spiritual life. You have already died, risen, and being hidden in the supreme Christ. So in verse 1, you know, Paul emphasizes on seek what is eternal. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. What Paul does, he grounds his command in a completed reality. It's a done deal. You have been raised with Christ, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's a done deal. Notice that Paul doesn't say, seek the things above so that you can be saved. He says, you are saved. But if you are here and you are not saved, this is not for you. But would love for you to say like, you know, you are saved. You need to be saved. Therefore, seek the things above. Obedience flows out of identity. Our true life is currently locked, safely away in heaven, hidden with Christ, which means we don't have to look for security, status, or validation here on earth. It means that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life right now is God's initial payment. He has done it, guaranteeing that the rest of the promised eternal blessings will certainly follow. Just as a trader leaves a deposit to legally bind a purchase, God gives believers the Holy Spirit as his personal seal and security system. We have it. We have it. The presence of the Spirit assures the Christian that their ultimate salvation is secure. Seek the things that are above and set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. You know, I've heard people say, you know, if you are too much, you know, heavenly, you know, minded, you might not be, you know, earthly good. No, I think we need to paraphrase that. If you are heavenly minded, you will be earthly good. It is a continuous daily choice. Setting your mind isn't just about passive positive thinking. It is about mental orientation and ambition. Seated at the right hand of God, Christ sits in the place of absolute authority, royal reign, and finished redemption. It means Jesus shares in the absolute sovereignty, rule, and all-powerfulness of God. An illustration. The compass and the magnet. It has been scientifically demonstrated that a magnetic compass needle naturally points north because it responds to an invisible powerful magnetic field. However, if you bring a small piece of iron or a magnet near the compass, the needle spins wildly away from the north. Many Christians have spiritual compasses spinning out of control because they are surrounded by the temporary magnets of earthly ambition, consumerism, and social validation, losing sight of the true north, Christ's throne. If someone looked at your calendar, your budget, and your anxieties over the last 7 days, what would they conclude you were seeking? The temporary or the eternal? We all need to align priorities with Christ's reign before making major career, financial, or relationship decisions. We must ask, does this choice align with the priorities of the King who is seated at God's right hand? Let's seek things above. In verse 2 and 3, Paul, it's a summary, cultivate heavenly focus. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So set your mind goes deeper than seeking. It refers to your and my worldview, mental diet, and default thought patterns, or direct your thoughts, aspirations, affections, and daily focus. It is not just about having positive thoughts. It is about how you and I evaluate life. We have the mind of Christ. Not on things that are on earth, Paul isn't telling us to ignore our earthly responsibilities, family, work, bills. He is warning against letting temporal, earthly, or legalistic values dictate our identity and peace. Hidden with Christ in God is a past action with permanent remaining results. We are in. Our spiritual life is so secure, guarded in God, and currently unseen, invisible to an unbelieving world. There's an illustration. A deep sea diver can walk on the ocean floor hundreds of feet underwater in a dark, hostile environment. Not because they think they drink the salt water around them, but because they are connected to an oxygen supply coming from the surface above. The moment their connection to the air is above is severed, they collapse. We need to be connected. Always be connected to Jesus. Verse 4, it says, anticipate the coming glory. I don't know about you, we need to be eagerly awaiting for Jesus' coming. I mean, every day we need to think of He's coming back. He's coming back to take us. Eagerly. You know, if you have 24 hours, make sure that there's an hour, 2 hours, you are thinking of Him all the time. Eagerly waiting for Him. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Christ, who is your life, Jesus is not a Sunday school or Sunday accessory, just on Sunday. You know, just read the Bible on Sunday. You know, go to church. Be seen that you are coming to church. No, there are more days to commune with Jesus. It's not just a Sunday accessory, or a crisis insurance policy, or an addition to our schedules. He is the very essence of our life. Very essence of our life. You know, John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can't go anywhere. It's the only truth. You know, I know people would say, you know, Muslims, Islam has some truth. You know, Buddhism has some truth. You know, you name it, Hinduism. But the owner of life says, I am the way and the truth and the life. There is no other truth but Jesus is the truth. No one comes to the Father except through Him. My favorite verse, Philippians 1:21. It says, for me to live is Christ, this is Paul, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, my life is so in tune with Christ while I'm alive. There will come a day when I will die. You will not work during that time. You will be in another world. But for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I always say, can we expend our lives on Him? The way we go to Ralph Supermarket, we are spending. How about we expend our lives for Him? Him alone. You know, by the way, that's the only truth we have. That's why we have joy in the Lord, because we know to live in Him. It's joyous. It's joyous. You know, He says, when He appears, you also appear. This means to be unveiled or publicly manifested. What is currently hidden, our true spiritual identity as children of God, will be visibly unveiled to the entire universe at the parousia, or the second coming of Christ. An example is that of the unreleased masterpiece. Think of an artist working on a massive canvas behind a velvet curtain for years. To the casual observer walking by the studio, nothing looks extraordinary. But on unveiling day, the curtain drops and everyone sees the beauty of what was being created all along. Right now, your life and mine in Christ is behind the curtain. The world may see you as ordinary, weak, foolish, but when the curtain drops at Christ's return, the glorious work He did in you and me will be unveiled for all to see. You know, there's a business example. You know what did Warren Buffett says? When you are all swimming, you will know the real person when the water goes down. Who is naked and who is clothed? So we need to understand that when the curtain drops, we are going to be the one Jesus prepared us to be. And you are present trials with future hope. There are trials in life. But if you are heavenly minded, if you have set your mind on Jesus, and you are present trials with hope, your current suffering, physical limitations, or persecution are temporary. They do not define your final chapter. You know, one morning I woke up, you know, I couldn't walk properly. You know, the whole body was, it's like, this is not my body. So I talked to myself, I said, wow, I'm over 65, okay, it's happening. Then I started praying, I said, Lord, if this be it, let me relax in you. Let me rest in you. But I'm going to the gym. I need to work this thing out. Live unashamed today. If you are guaranteed to share in Christ's public glory tomorrow, stop living in fear of the world's disapproval today. A call to action. Set your hearts on things above and things to come. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. You know, we live in a world of stock market. And we want to see the needle move upwards. If your heart is there, normally you don't enjoy lunch because you are just turning the, you know, where is the Dow Jones today? You know, you put it back, you open it up, because that's where it's like your treasure is. You are so connected to it. But Jesus says, no. Let me be your treasure. Let me be your treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And it should be. Also, fill your heart with heavenly meditation so that you can become an overflowing fountain of hope for people around you, especially the Christian people. They come to drink from the wellspring of hope. Even non-Christian people will come to you and ask to explain the hope that you have. Fill yourselves with hope. Important. If we find that in our lives, we are doing things minus him, then really we are earthly focused. He has to dominate. Jesus has to dominate in our conversations, in our well-being, in everything we do. Let's not just pray on Sunday when we wake up and say, oh, today is Sunday, we need to pray. It should be a habit every day. We love to eat. We should love to pray. We should love to pray. Paul, in the chapter 3 later on, gives us at least 5 virtues you and I need for our daily walk. Colossians 3, verse 12, he says, put on, or to be clothed with, then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. He says we need to put on compassionate hearts. When we are heavenly minded, we are going to have compassion for others. Kindness, goodness in action, humility, esteeming others above ourselves, meekness, gentleness, power under control. It is not weakness, but strength held in submission to God. Patience, long suffering. You know, these are the virtues. If they are growing, they are more in your life, you are going to be heavenly minded. But if patience is lacking, Meekness is lacking. You know, you are short of other things. We need these virtues to help us, you know, to live this life we talk about. Identify the earthly magnet or magnets. What temporal priority has been pulling your mind away from Christ last week? Name it, repent of it, and surrender it at the cross. Commit to a mindset shift. Let heaven's reality define your earthly day. You know, it's good to go to bed with Scripture and to wake up with Scripture. I know our iPhones are just nearby. When we wake up, that's the first thing we turn on. Maybe we can put a screensaver, which is Scripture, just to remind us it's not just the time. It's about for us to pray, to have a mindset shift, so that we can truly concentrate on who this Jesus is. I wanted to end with three verses in Romans 11. You know, after Paul has talked about, you know, the theology of, you know, what it means not to live under the law, he ends with some of the beautiful words. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." Is that not beautiful? That's our hearts, to be heavenly minded. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your words. Lord, we need to have a mind shift. We need to honor you in everything we do. We are smart because you have given us intelligence. You are the one who holds our life. We pray for ourselves that God, even as we set our minds on things above, we are weak. You know, we groan. We change course. Help us, Lord, to focus on you. May we lift you in our lives, in our hearts. May we follow you until the day we sign off on this earth. We want to follow you. Pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.